Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Ches. We begin at the very top, Ches Amud Aleph, by the new Mishnah. We're in this series of Mishnayos that are called the Ein Bein Mishnayos because we contrast two different dinim that are very, very closely related, and we point out how they're similar and how they're dissimilar. So we begin very top, Ches Amud Aleph, with the Mishnah. Ein Bein Hamudor Hanoa Mechavero. There is no difference between the person that forbids him from getting via a neder hanoah from his friend, as opposed to somebody who didn't say, I can't get hanoah from you, but he said, I can't get lemudor mimenu macho. I'm just not allowed to get any food benefit from you. So the two are very similar. When you say, I won't get hanoah from a friend, and versus I won't get any food hanoah from you, the two are almost identical. The only difference between them is that if you prohibited yourself with a neder from getting hanoah from the food of a friend, you would be permitted, elo, drisa sarego, you'd be allowed to go walk on his property, v'kelim she'ein osim hem ochel nefesh, and you could borrow his lawnmower, you could borrow his items that have nothing to do with food preparation, but any item that has to do with food preparation would be just as also whether you were prohibited from him, from a friend, who you were mudor hanoah from ochel or mudor hanoah in general. Only two, again, differences between the two categories is a person who is mudor hanoah from ochel is allowed to go and walk on the guy's property and could borrow his utensils that have nothing to do with food preparation. Rashi explains that if you're borrowing anything that you normally would pay for, so you normally would go and borrow something that you'd have to go and rent out for food preparation, so then if you got it for free from that person, so then you'd be benefiting and you could use that to purchase food. As opposed to if it's a utensil that's not normally made for food preparation, so then you didn't ask yourself from hanoah from that friend, and therefore you could get that benefit. Okay, Morris starts off and tells us that implies that this is the only difference, Drisa Sarego and Caleb Shambohem Osim Ochel Nefesh. So then that implies Holy Inyan Kalim Shaosim Hem Ochel Nefesh Zevzeh Shavim. You can't go and borrow something from him. You can't borrow his cholpa, even though that's not food. But since normally, Rashi's explaining, if you would normally rent something like that, so you're saving the money for renting the cholpa, so therefore you're getting a food benefit from it, because now you can use that cholpa money that you would have paid for and go and buy food for it. Okay. Mishnah says, what about Drisa Sarego? We quote the Mishnah, Drisa Sarego. So Gemara says, wait a second. Most people don't mind if you walk on their property, so why is that really cool that you're getting hanoah? Everybody can walk on his property. Holo kapti inshe. People aren't normally makbid not to let people walk on their property. So why in this situation is Drisa Sarego not allowed? So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Homani, our Mishnah is in accord with which opinion? Rabbi Eliezer. This goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer holds the Amar. He says, even Vitur, Rashi explains, is Dover Shahoya Mivater L'chol Odom, something that you normally are not makpid on. You're going to let somebody, no problem, you can do this. I don't mind. Even if I don't know you well, I don't mind that people walk on my property. It's midas sedom if I were to be asking you to walk on my property, because it doesn't hurt me if you walk on my cement. My cement's not going to get ruined if you walk on my cement. It would be one thing if you're walking in my garden. Yeah, he doesn't let people walk in his garden. But he has cement sidewalk in front of his house. Technically, that's his property. And he doesn't mind that people walk on it. So he's normally mevater on something. But Rabbi Eliezer holds, even if it's something that you normally mevater l'chol adam, and you're not, there ain't no makbid of it all. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer holds, even something that you're mevater on, Dama, Rabbi Eliezer holds, Vitor is also b'mudor hanoah, even though he doesn't mind anybody else doing this, but you asked yourself hanoah from him via neder, and therefore you're, even for something that he doesn't mind or care about for anybody, you wouldn't be allowed to get hanoah from him. So that's why Drisa Saregel is not allowed if you're mudor hanoah, total hanoah, mechaver. Okay, next Mishnah. Ein bein nedarim l'nedavos. There is no distinction between something that you donate to the Beis HaMikdash as a neder, something that you donate to the Beis HaMikdash as a nedava, with the one exception, elo shahanedarim chayav biachriyusan, u'nedavos eino chayav biachriyusan. See the Gemara what this exactly means, but basically, for a neder, if the neder were to get lost or stolen or die, etc., so then you'd be obligated to still pay your debt back. Your debt is a general debt, not related to that specific item. And therefore, until you fulfill your debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you're still obligated to do this. You have what we call achrayus. You have responsibility. You have a chiyuv to go and bring that item that you made a neder to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, a nedava is when a person says, this animal in front of me, I'm going to bring this as a korban. You didn't say, I owe a carbon. This animal, you made it into a carbon. And then if something happens to that animal, then you're no longer obligated to bring that as a carbon, because you can't bring that as a carbon. You didn't say, I'll have a responsibility to bring one no matter what. And the Gemara will now explain what I just said. Gemara starts off, that implies that the only difference between a nether and a dover is that the chiyuv of achrayis, nether yes, nedava no, that implies hola inyan balti acher, in terms of there's an issur to delay the bringing of your animal beyond a certain point of time. If you remember back in Rosh Hashanah, we had five different shitos about it. Does it have to be one regal? Does it have to be the regalim in order? Does it have to be three regalim? There was opinion two regalim. So we had all these different opinions. The bottom line is, there is a din of Baal Tiacher, that beyond some point in time, there are different opinions as to when that point occurs, you're not allowed to delay bringing your korban. You have to bring it by that point in time. If you delay beyond that point in time, you're over the issur of Baal Tiacher. So that implies that there is no difference between a nether and a nedava, the Mishnah is teaching us. The Gemara says, Holy Inyan Baal Tiacher is Eves Eshavah. There is no distinction in the din of Baal Tiacher, whether it's a nether or whether it is a nedava. That Mishnah defines what I said before as a nether versus a nedava. And this is a Mishnah in Kinim. It's Tananhas. We learned in the Mishnah over there in Kinim. Ezehu neder. What is the definition of a neder? That's when a person obligates himself as opposed to a specific animal. Haomer, if a person says, Hare olai, I obligate myself. I take upon myself the obligation to, for example, bring an ola. Haomer, Hare olai, ola. That is a neder. Because he says, me, the person, is obligated to bring this animal, and even though he designates a specific animal to fulfill that nether, if something happens to that animal, he still has the achrayis on himself. Olai, it's on him, as opposed to this animal. He did designate this animal, he now has to bring that animal, but that animal isn't the end-all. Achrayis is on him. It's only when he does bring the animal that he fulfills his obligation. That's Olai, hare olai, ola. That's a neder. As opposed to a nedava, what's the definition of nedava? The Mishnah there says, Ezoi nedava, homer hare zu ola. He says, Bessie, the animal in front of him, you are an ola. And then, if something happens to Bessie, so then he doesn't have the obligation on himself. The obligation was on Bessie. If something happens to Bessie, his obligation, his achrayis, is done. Now, Labe nedava doubles. The Mishnah in Kinim says, what's the difference, practical difference between neder and nedava? So he says, nedarim mesu o nignivu o avdu chayav biachriyusan. If you say upon yourself, hare olai, I'm obligated to bring an ola, and then you designate Bessie subsequently to be the ola that you're going to bring, and then Bessie dies, so then if it mesu, if it dies, or nignivu, somebody steals it, avdu, it gets lost, so then you still are obligated to go bring an ola, chayav biachriyusan. However, if you said, Bessie is the ola, hare ze ola. So then, nedavos, that's an example of a nedava. So if Bessie was to die, mesu, o nignivu, o avdu, or somebody steals Bessie, or somebody, you lose Bessie, so then eino chayav biachriyusan. Because you said Bessie is going to be the ola. You didn't take it upon yourself. Okay, if Bessie's around, you're going to bring it as an ola. But if something happens to Bessie, then you're not going to go bring it as an ola. Now, how do we know all of this? Minohani mila. Is there a psukim that support this distinction between neder and nedava? Someone says yes. The Tanur Rabban, we learn the Braisa. The pasuk tells us that nir tzalo lechaper olav. This will be accepted by a Kodesh Baruch Hu to give him a atonement, to give him a kapara, olav, to him. And Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, things es sha'olav, those things that are upon him. So chayav v'yachriyuso, he has to go and bring to get this kapara. However, v'yes she'eno olav, but if he just designated an animal, a nedava, then eino chayav v'yachriyuso, then there was no obligation upon him. So the key word here is v'nir tzalo l'chaper olav. One says, exactly how did you make this drasha that I just said, my mashma? Show me exactly from the words, v'nir tzalo l'chaper olav, that this distinction that we just made between neder and nedava is really there. So Amar Rav Yitzchak, by Rav Dimi, Rav Yitzchak, who's the son of Rav Dimi, said, kivan, the Amar, olai, since he said, I accept upon myself an ola, hare, olai ola, that's kiman de ton, that's as if somebody loaded it, a kasve dummy, upon his back. In other words, by using this lashon, hare olai, it is upon me, as opposed to hare zeh, it is this animal. So that's the distinction. You see this from the pasuk, the word olav, upon him. Okay, next mission in the series. Ein bein, there is no difference between zov, haroa shtei rios, versus a zov, leroa shalosh rios. Now, we have to know what a zov is. A zov is a man who has a discharge. Now, what type of discharge does he have? It's an abnormal discharge. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that it can't be due to one of seven things. It can't be due to excessive eating or drinking, jumping, and all sorts of other activities. It can't be due to illness, but it's a certain type of a discharge that's not urine, and it's not zera. At least the basic idea of zov can't be zera. There could be zera that is included in this, in the three re'ios. A person could have a seminal emission, and that could count as one of the three re'ios, not the first one for this din, but the bottom line is that there are halachic differences between a zav in terms of tumah and tara and korbanos, and how you get out of being a zav, whether you're a zav that saw two rios, two times you had zav discharge, versus a person who had three times zav discharges. And this has to occur within a certain period of time. As opposed to a zava, a woman, there are significant differences between a man and a woman in terms of a man being a zav, a woman being a zava. So we're not going to get into those differences right now, but for a man, it has to be, even on the same day, three separate rios, whereas for a woman, it has to be three consecutive days. For a man, it has to be over 3 days, but it doesn't have to be on three separate days. And the difference between if a zav has two rios versus a zav has three rios, there is no difference. Mishnah tells us, ein bein, there is no difference. The one difference is ela karban, as opposed to a zav that only has two rios, who doesn't have to bring a karban to get out of his full status of being a zav. With two re'eos, you have tumah for 7 days. You have to have the zayin nikiyim, the 7 clean days, which we're only used to by a woman. But in the days of tumah and tara being extended, being practically being followed, so then a zav who had two re'eos also had to have zayin nikiyim, 7 clean days without a discharge, before he gets out of being a zav in terms of being able to be matami things. But the only difference between a zav of two rios and three rios is that you have to bring a carbon. So a zav of two rios does not have to bring a carbon. A zav who has three rios, in addition to the zayin nikiyim, the 7 clean days, when he's done with that, he has to go bring a carbon for his ziva discharge. Now, Gemara starts off and says, the implication of our Mishnah that the only difference is whether you bring a carbon, so that implies for all other dinim, a zav of two rios is exactly halachically identical to a zav of three rios. What does that mean? That implication is, holy inyan, mishkav u'moshav, the ability to be metame, something that you're sitting on, leaning on, reclining on, being held up on, supported on, that is called the din of tumas medris, mishkav u'moshav, anything that you are supported by. So then, that has the status of being an av hatumah. If a zav were to touch something, a zav touches a plate, so that plate becomes a rishon. The zav is the av hatumah. What he touches becomes a rishon. But if he sits on a couch, if he sits on a chair, if he sits on a bed, so that bed becomes an av hatumah. It doesn't become a rishon. And this is anything that supports him, even if he's not touching it. So if he's sitting on the a bed that has a mattress on the top and then has a box spring on the bottom, so then not only is the mattress going to be tomei tumas medris as an avatuma, but the box spring will also be tomei tumas medris as an avatuma. And then if somebody were to sit on the box spring without even touching the upper mattress, they would become a rishon. The avatuma is able to make something into a rishon, as opposed to a rishon can't make a person or kalim into a sheni. It can only make food or liquids into a something that is tomei into a sheni. So the Mishnah is telling us that the only difference between a zav of two rios and a zav of three rios is the carbon, but in regards to tumas medris, tumas mishkav u'moshav, and usviras shiva, and the requirement to count 7 clean days, the zayin nikiyim, zeh v'zeh shav. There is no difference between a zav of two rios and a zav of three rios. The Gemara says, how do you know this? Mino hani mili. The Gemara says, we'll bring down the following brisa, the Tana Rabbanon, Rabbi Simoy Omer. Rabbi Simoy says in the brisa, mono hakosu shtayim, the Torah writes down that there's a zav with two rios, ukro tomei, and declares such a zav to be tomei. Right? The pasuk says, ish ish, ki ye zav mi besaro, zovo tomei hu. This zav makes him tomei. Now, it says the word zav and zovo. It says it twice, and that is, Rashi explains, the two times it's mona kosuv shtayim and calls him tomei. And it also has a pasuk that says three times, shalosh, ukro tome. What is this pasuk? This pasuk is, v'zosie tum aso bizovo, number one, ror bisaro es zovo, number two, o hechtim bisaro mizovo, tum aso hu. That's mizovo is number three, and it calls him tome. So the Torah calls a zov of shtei rios tome. The pasuk also calls a zov that has three rios tome. And therefore, we see that they're identical. So Gemara says, then what is the difference between them? How do you go and explain why the Torah sometimes calls Azov of 2 Rios Tomei or Azov of 3 Rios Tomei? What's the difference between them? How Ketzat? So Gemara says, Shtayim, when you have 2 Rios, you become Tomei Lutuma. Like we said, there's no distinction between Azov of 2 or 3 Rios. They're Tomei. They have Matame Tumas Medrus, and you have to count Zayinikim. However, the distinction, why one place says 2 and one place says 3, Bishalosh, the distinction is Lekarban, like our Mishnah said. Ah, this is the drasha. These two series of psukim, Zov of 2 Rios, Zov of 3 Rios, are alike in many ways, but the difference in regards to the carbon. Mar says, maybe not. Who says you have to darshan it this way? The Amar, maybe you should darshan it at Shtayim Letuma, below Lekarban. Yes, a Zov that's 2 Rios, he's Tomei. The Pasuk says he's Tomei, and he doesn't have to bring a carbon. That's what you want to learn, fine. But maybe if you have 3 Rios, Shalosh, it means that you only bring a carbon, the Lola Toma, you're not Tomei. Mara rejects this right away and says, out of hand, this can't be. Amris, you're telling me, Achelo Ra Shalosh, Ra Shtayim. How could that Toma go away? As soon as he sees 2, he's Tomei. Now he sees a 3rd one, that makes him Tar? That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, in regards to Toma, they're both Tomei. And in regards to the carbon, the 3rd pasuk says that he has to bring a carbon. That's the Chiddush of 3 Rios. Morris is still not happy. Morris says, maybe you're right. Okay, Vemer Shtayim means Le Carbon, Velola Tuma. Maybe when he has 2 Rios, so then he has to bring a carbon, but he's not Mekame Tumas Medrus. Only if he has 3 Shalosh, Afla Tuma. Then, in addition to bringing a carbon, then he's also Tomei. Morris says, don't think that for a second. Lo Soka Daita. That's not right. Why? Because we learn in the following brayse of the Tanya, the Pasuk says, Bechiper Olav HaKohen Lifnei Hashem Mizovo. He'll become Nida Kapar from the Kohen. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from what? Mi Zovo. Now, mi implies a miut. Mi means some of, not all of. Mi Zovo. In some situations, he requires this kapara, and in other situations, he doesn't. So what would that be? Miksas Zovim, some Zovim, are obligated to bring a carbon. They need this keeper of a coin, Lefnei Hashem. So Miksas Zovo, some Zovim, Mevin carbon. As opposed to mixes of him, some other zovim ain't being carbon. So some zovim bring a carbon, some zovim don't bring carbon. Okay, said, which is which? When does a zov bring a carbon? When does a zov not bring a carbon? Oh, Rosh Shalosh, upon seeing the 3rd one, now you have the obligation to bring a carbon. Rosh Shalosh, maybe. However, if you only saw 2 shtayim, ain't no maybe. Ah, that's what the pasuk mi zovo is coming to teach us. Some zovim bring, some zovim don't. Which zovim? 2 rias, no. 3 rias, yes. Morris says, maybe not. Oh, Eno, maybe it should be. El Raw Bays, maybe. Raw Shalosh Eno, maybe. Maybe only if you see 2 do you bring a carbon. But once you see 3, you no longer bring a carbon. Morris rejects that out of hand as well. Amris, because it's impossible. Once you see 2, you're obligated to carbon. Then you see a 3rd, you're no longer obligated to carbon. It doesn't make any sense. Amris, actually, Raw Shalosh, because anybody that saw 3 had to have seen 2, Raw Shtayim. And therefore, as soon as you're obligated it, so then you can't lose it by seeing another. So this is the drasha. The only difference between a zov of 2 rios and a zov of 3 rios is the carbon. But in regards to being metame tumas medrus and in regards to zayinikim, they're identical. Now, this statement that we brought down from Rav Simai said that the psukim of tuma, it says twice by zov, 2, and then it says 3 times by zov, and both of them called tame. And then we brought down the other drasha of mizovo, that some zovim yes, some zovim no. So if Morris says v'itzrich derav simoy v'itzrich mizovo, both of these together are the right answer. Each one alone wouldn't give us the right answer. When you have both of them together, then you come to the right answer. Because if you only had Rav Simoy's drasha di derabi simoy, that monakos of shtayim ukorotame monakos of shalosh v'korotame, if I only had that, you know what I would have said? I would have said ki kushan. I would have said the exact question that the Gemara asked. Maybe it means that only when you have 2, you have a carbon, and only when you have 3, then when you become tame. So without the mizovo, I wouldn't have known that that's true. Therefore, kamash malon mizovo. That's why you need a 2nd drasha to teach me that it's a carbon that's the difference between the 2 of them. The mizovo. If I only had that drasha, I would say, okay, there's a difference between some zovim yes, some zovim no, but I wouldn't know how many. That's why lo yadana kama rios. That's why kamash malon de Rabbi Simai. I need Rabbi Simai to tell me the differences between 2 and 3. Okay, we're in good position, but the Gemara still has a question. The Gemara says, the hashto the amis mi zovo lidrosha, the word mi is a miut, and only some zovim yes and some zovim no, so then we have to be consistent. Anytime we have the word mi zovo, we have to darshan it that way. It means some yes, some no. So then when the pasuk says, the chiyitar hazov mi zovo, So when the Zav becomes tar from his Ziva, so then my Darsh Bey. So how are you going to say only some Zavim in that situation? So Gemara says, no, we have a good drush for that. You're 100% right. You have to be consistent. Mizavo means some Zavim. So to over here in this Pasuk, V'chiyit ha-Zav, Mizavo means some Zavim. How, Maboyle, you need this Pasuk, L'chiditani, for the following Brysa. It says in this Brysa, V'chiyit ha-Zav, if the Pasuk had just said, V'chiyit ha-Zav, that means, L'chishayivsok Mizavo. It means when he no longer has his Ziva discharge. So the Pasuk is telling us that you need to go to the mikvah only when you're done with your Zovo, only from Zovo. The miyut is only from Zovo. Do you need to go to the mikvah after you're done with your 7 days of Tahara? As opposed to Mizovo, Velo, now this is the gears that we have, Velo, Mizovo, Vinigo. There are a couple of different gears over here. They all mean essentially the same thing. As opposed to a person who is not only a Zov, but he's also a Mitzorah. He also has Tzoras. So then in that situation, he has to go and count his 7 clean days, even though his tzoras is still there, but his 7 clean days from being a zav, so that can begin to count, even though he's also mitzora. So mizovau, you only have to be done with your ziva discharges, even though you have other tum upon you, such as tzoras. So nevertheless, you're still allowed to count the 7 clean days. Mizovau implies only from the zov that you need to be done with in order to start counting your 7 clean days. But if you have other types of tumah, such as negat saraz, so then you wouldn't be restricted in starting your 7 days. You're allowed to go and count your 7 days. Mizovo visofar. It says when you're done with your ziva discharges, you can start counting your zayin nikiyim. Limit alzov bal shterios shaton sviras shiva. And this is talking about over here, even any type of zov, whether it's 2 or 3 rios, it requires zayin nikiyim. Now, more questions. Why do I need a pasuk with this? Velo dinu. I would have said it's a kavul chomer. What's the kavul chomer? In mitame mishkav u'moshav. If a zav of 2 rios is able to be mitame mishkav u'moshav, so certainly, if you're mitame with mishkav u'moshav, so why would you have a hava mina? We learned from Rabbi Simoy that there's no difference between 2 and 3 rios except for a carbon. So why would we think that there's any difference between 2 and 3 rios in terms of counting 7 clean days? If it's mitame mishkav u'moshav, so why would we think that there's any difference between a zav of 3 rios and a zav of 2 rios in regards to requirement to count 7 clean days? That's what the Gemara is saying. What's your reasoning to need a pasuk for this? It should be obvious. The Gemara says, not so obvious. We turn to Ches Omid Beis, and the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious because that's not the halacha by a woman who's a ziva, a woman who's has a zav discharge, and she's a zava. Now, Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom Tochiach. This is by a woman. Now, the dinim, as I mentioned before, by a woman are quite different from men. We'll only learn those differences that are pertinent to our Gemara. And a woman, so she has to have 3 re'ios before she has to count 7 clean days. If she has 1 or 2 re'ios of ziva during the 11-day period of time when she could possibly become a zava, there's a 7-11 cycle, the 7 days that she sees blood, she becomes a nida, and after that, when she no longer sees blood, so then, at that point in time, she has what's called the 11 Yemei Ziva, the potential days when she could become a Zava, and if she sees discharges during that period of time, on 3 consecutive days, only then does she become what we call a Zava Gedola, and then she would have to count the 7 clean days. But if she only sees 1 day, or she sees 2 days, so she just has to watch 1 clean day, Kineged, the Yom that she saw, or the Yomayim that she saw, the discharge during the 11 days of Ziva. I know it's a little bit complicated and we're rushing through it right now, but it's not so pertinent. The only din that you need to know right now is that a Shomeris Yom Kineged Yom will prove to us that you need a pasuk to tell us that there's no difference by a man between 2 and 3 days, because by a woman there is a difference between 2 and 3 days. And yes, a woman could be metame during this period of time, but she doesn't need Zayin Nikim if she only has a 1 or 2 day discharge. So that's what the Gemara tells us. Shomer Yom Kineged Yom Tochiach. She metama Mishkav Moshav. She is capable of making something Tumas Madras. However, the Eino Tuuna Sira Shiva. But unless she has 3 discharges over 3 consecutive days during the Yemei Ziva, then she isn't requiring to become Tar by having Sira Shiva. It is adequate if she just has a clean day, 1 clean day, Yom Kineged Yom, not that she needs 7 clean days. So therefore, by a woman, the fact that she's Metama Tumas Medrus doesn't mean that she automatically has to count Zayin Nikiyim. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So too, V'Av Atah, Al Tismal Zeh. Therefore, don't be shocked that the same halacha applies to a Zav. And that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that the same halacha doesn't apply to a zav. Sha'af apisha matami mishkav u'moshav. I would have said, even though the zav of Turios is matami mishkav u'moshav, maybe he doesn't need three discharges in order to count zayin nikiyim. Lo yei ton sfira shiva, if he only has two, just like a woman, if she only has one or two, she doesn't require zayin nikiyim. So I would have said, just like a man, same thing. If he sees only once or twice as a zav of one riyah or two riyahs, he's not going to require zayin nikiyim. Lo yei ton sfira shiva. That's why we need the pasuk tamid lomar mi zovo v'sofar miktsa zovo v'sofar. Even a little bit of zav, he has to go and count the zayin nikiyim. Even a zov bal shtei rios, even a zov that only has two rios, shaton svira shiva. He does require the 7 clean days. So the halachas are different by a man, by a woman, in many aspects. A man is a white discharge, a woman is a red discharge, a bloody discharge. So many, many differences between a zov and a zova. And for our purposes over here, there is no difference between a man of two rios versus a man of three rios, except for the karban. In regards to tumas medris, mitame mishkav moshav, and as well the requirement to count the 7 clean days, the Zayin Nikiyim, no difference between a Zav of 2 Rios and a Zav of 3 Rios. Gemara still not happy. Gemara says, Amalei Rapapa L'Abayi, Rapapa says to Abayi, so Maishno Hai Mizovo Demirabe Be Zav Baushte Rios, Maishno Hai Mizovo Demimai Be Zav Baushte Rios. So wait a second. We're using one of them to go and include, one of the Mizovos is coming to include a Zav of 2 Rios in the din of Zayin Nikiyim, and the other one is to exclude him from the din of carbon. So we seem to be saying one time Mizovo is an inclusion, and one time it's an exclusion. Isn't that problematic? That's what Abaya is being asked by Rapapa. Amalei Rapapa to Abaya, this seems to be inconsistent. So Abaya responds, and he says, Amalei, Isaka Daitachivi, with the thing, Hailim Utehudiyasa, that both of them are coming to be minimizing it to exclude it. So Mizovo is coming to exclude a Zov of two Rios, not only from Karban, but also from Zayin Nikiyim. Then the Pasuk didn't have to say anything. Lishtok Kra Mine. And then I would have said, it's no different than by a woman, that only if you have three Rios would you have to count Zayin Nikiyim. So the fact that the Pasuk puts in the extra word Mizovo is coming to include it. You're going to tell me, V'chitema, Abaya, says Rapapa, you're going to question me and say, Asya Medina, that we would be able to learn it out from the Kal v'chomer. He's Matame Mishka v'mosha with two Rios, so we don't make such a distinction that he's not Matame Mishka v'mosha with two Rios, so then why would we make such a distinction that he should be not having to count Zayin Nikiyim? So that's what we said. Shomer Yisrael Keneged Yom Tochiach, that it's not an automatic Kal v'chomer. Just because you're chayev in you cause Tumas Medrash doesn't automatically mean that you'd be chayev in Zayin Nikiyim. That we see from a woman, that's not the case. So therefore, you can't tell me it's automatically that way from a man. That's why we need the pasuk mizovo. You're going to tell me, v'chitema, hi, mi boile, you still need it, mizovo v'lo minigo. We said that teaches us that you just have to be tar from your ziva. You don't have to have any more ziva to start counting the Zayin Nikiyim, even though you still have tumas nega of tzaraas. So Gemara says, if that was the only reason in Cain, then the pasuk would have just had to have said, lichtov kor, the pasuk could just write, l'chiyitar ha-zav, v'lishtok, and not say anything else. When you're tar from your zav, who cares what else you have? Why does it say the word mizovo? Mizovo, lomoli, must be limit alzov balshterios shaton sviras shiva. The chiddush is no. That teaches us that the din is the same for zov of two rios, or zov of three rios. By a man, they have to count zayin nikiyim, whether it's two or three rios. And the only difference, ein din, as we said, is in regards to the carbon. But in regards to tumas medrash, in regards to zayin nikiyim, no difference between a zov of two rios and a zov of three rios. Next Mishnah, Ein Bein. Here we're another Mishnah showing that there's no difference between a Mitzora Muskar or a Mitzora Muchlat. We have to explain what that means, but there's no difference between these two. Elo Priya Ufrima. Priya means to let your hair grow. Per Adam, Hu Yeh Per Adam, talking about Yishmael. Hu Yeh Per Adam. And Prima is to do Kriya on your clothing. So you have to rip your clothing. So the only difference between a Mitzora that is Muchlat, which is set aside, he is definitely a Mitzora. He was declared a Mitzora based upon the laws of the Torah for Tzaraas. As opposed to a Muskar, is somebody that may be a Mitzora, we have to keep him for 7 days and come back in 7 days and see what the lesion looks like. Did it become a real Tzaraas lesion and now he becomes Muchlat? Or do we say no, that he's still Muskar, he's in quarantine, he's in isolation, words that we're unfortunately too familiar with during COVID-19. So the only difference between the Mitzora that is definitely declared a Mitzora, he absolutely has the din of Saras, he is called Mukhlad, it's decided, it definitely is, versus Muskar. Muskar is in quarantine. Maybe yes, maybe no. The only difference between these two types of Mitzora is the obligation to do Priya and Prima, to let your hair grow, become Periya, and Bigodav you Frumim, the person shall go and make sure that his garments are torn. So the only difference between these two types of Mitzora, the Muskar, quarantine, Mukhlad, definitely you have it. The only difference is the requirement to do Priya and Prima. That's required by the Mukhlat Mitzorah, but not by the Muzgar Mitzorah. Furthermore, Ein Bein Tor Mitoch Hesger L'Tor Mitoch Hechlet, when they come out of their status, the person who is in the Muzgar status, he's in quarantine, and he's seen 7 days later to see what happens to his lesions, and the coin declares him Dimtar, or he was Mukhlat, he was definitely Tameh, and after a period of time, the lesion goes away and the coin declares him tar. So the only difference between someone who's become tar from being musgar status to someone who was mukhlat status becoming tar, the only difference between them is elo taglachas vitziporim. The person who was mukhlat, definitely mitzora, he has to go bring a pair of birds. He has the din of bringing the tziporim. And he also has taglachas, he has to go shave off all of his hair. That is only required by the Mitzora who was Mukhlad. He was definitely a Mitzora. But the one that was Muzgar, we don't know. Yes or no, he's in quarantine and is declared to be Tar after the quarantine period of time. So boom, he just goes free. He's no longer a Mitzora Muzgar. He doesn't have to do the Taglachas, the hair shaving, and he doesn't have to bring the birds, the Tziporim. Now we go to the Gemara. Gemara says, the implication of our Mishnah is that they're only different in the Priya and Prima, or the Taglachas or Tziporim, at their respective stages, implication being, all the Inyan Shiluach, the Tumah, in regards to not being allowed to stay inside a walled city. A Mitzora has to be sent out of a walled city. He can't go inside of a walled city. And in regards to the Tumah that they could transmit during the period of time that they're either a Mitzora Muskar or a Mitzora Mukhlat, Zev Zeh Shavim, they're identical in those dinim. So in regards to Shiluach and Tumah, they're identical. In regards to Priya and Prima, there's a difference between the Muskar and the Mukhlat. Only the Mukhlat has the dinim of Priya and Prima, not the Muskar. And when they become Tar, the difference is that only the Mukhlat is obligated to bring the birds and to do the hair shaving, and the Muskar is not. Now, Minani Mili, how do we know all of these dinim that we just said? So, we learn this in a brisa. The Tani Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Kamei de Rav Huna, the following brisa was learned by Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak in front of Rav Huna. The brisa says, the Tiaru HaKohen Mispachasi. The Kohen will declare the person to become Tohar, because he has now what is called a mispachas, which is not a type of tzoras lesion. It's another type of skin lesion, but it's not mitzoras. And the chibes begodav atar. And all he has to do is go and betovel his garments, because they were tomei when he was a mitzora, and he's tar. And that's it. End of the discussion. Now, what does this mean, betoher? So it means tohor vipriya ufrima demei kora. Here we're talking about a muskar. The Sukkim are dealing over here with a Mitzorah who was just Muzgar. He wasn't declared to definitively have been Mitzoras. He just had a possibility, and they re-examined him at 7 days later, and the Kohen declares him that it was, no, this is a Mispachas, it's not Tzoras, and therefore his garments, which he was wearing during that period of time, they have to be Tovel, but that's it, the Tar, and he's Tar. Now what does it mean, Toher? So we darsh in this, it means he didn't have even Meikara, even from the beginning. While he's a Muskar, he's only in quarantine, the obligation of Priya and Prima. So that's what the Braisa, according to Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, in front of Rav Huna said. Rava doesn't like this. Amalei Rava says, Elamiyata, if what you're saying is right, that the word Vitoher means he was Vitoher Meikara, Torah Mipriya Priya Meikara, if that's true, then you got to be consistent. Gabe Zav, by Zav, the Pasuk says, V'chibes b'gadav, it also tells us that he has to go and wash his garments, V'toher, and it says by the Zav that he's also V'toher. So are you telling me that V'toher by the Zav, Hosam, my V'toher, Meikori Ika, what possibility is there that he was not included in the din of Zav from the beginning? He's included in all of the dinim, as we just said, he's included in the din of Metami Tumas Medrus, Mishka V'boshav, he's included in the din of Zayinikim, there are no other dinim of Azov. So what Vitoher would he be Torah Meikar from if this is the right way to darshan the word Vitoher? So therefore, it must be, when it says Vitoher, it means Hosam, my Vitoher Meikar Ika, there is no Vitoher from the beginning, Ela Tohar Hashta Militame Kli Cheres Behest. It means that he no longer has the ability, Mikanu Lahaba, from here and onward, going forward, he no longer has the ability, Militame Kli Cheres Behest, to go and by just moving something, even without touching it, to be Mitame Kli Cheres. So that's what Vitoher means, Mikanu Lahaba. If he has no further discharges, then he's not Mitame Kli Cheres Behest. However, but if he did see again, so then, lo metamei lemafreya, he doesn't retroactively, anything that he touched during the period of time when he didn't have that discharge, so he's not metamei lemafreya, but he's only metamei mikan ulahaba. So that's what the word v'toher means by yizav. So too, in regards to the mitzora who was muskar, hochanami, the same din should apply. V'toher means tohar, hashta miletame bebiya lemafreya. So what it means is that he's only tame mikanu laba. The situation here is he's declared that he has a mispachas. They say that no, it's not a din of tzaras. Oh, Baruch Hashem, he's out and he goes into a house. And if he was a mitzvah, he would be mitame all the kelim in the house. He went into the house. He stayed there for 2 days. He comes out of the house and the lesion recurs. And he goes to the kohen. The kohen says, "Whoa, that original lesion that you had, which we thought was a mispachas and not mitzvahs." Now we're declaring it that you are definitely a Mitzora Mukhla. Now, wait a second. He's had this same lesion on and off in slightly different forms for the last 3 weeks, let's say. So therefore, he went into the house. You had told him that he was a Mispachas, that at that point he was tar. Do we now say that retroactively, everything that was in that house, it turns out that he really was a Mitzora Mukhla, he was a definitive Mitzora, so maybe we should go retroactively back and declare all the things that he was in the house, they're all Tame. So the answer is no. It's only Mikanu Lahaba. Tar means Hashta Militame Bevia Lemafreya. That he's only Tar Mikanu Lahaba. But any things that he went into the house after he was declared that he wasn't a Mitzora, so that doesn't retroactively become Tame. That's what you need the word Vitoher for, both by Zov and as well by Mitzora. So therefore, it's not available for the drasha that you wanted to bring down. So what is the drasha? El Amar Rava Mihocha. So how do we know that there is this din, that only a Mitzora that is Mukhla has the din of Priya and Frima, and not the Mitzora who's Muskar? So that we learn out from the following pasuk. It says, V'hatzorua, the one who has Tzoras, Asher Boha Nega, that has the Nega. What does that mean? Mishet Tzorato, the one who has Tzoras, Tuluya Begufo, that it is confirmed. He is a mukhlat. He is a definitive mitzorah, and therefore he can't go and become ois tzaras, hatzaru asher bo hanega, such a person, mishitzarato, tuluya begufo. That implies only the mitzorah who is mukhlat has the din of priya and prima, yotzezeshe ain tzarato, tuluya begufo, elabiyamim, as opposed to the muskar, which is not a definitive. He's just in quarantine. And he could go out of quarantine when the 7 days are up and the Kohen says, no, you don't have anything that's a Mitzoras lesion. You get to go out. So therefore, as opposed to the one who has the Nega that makes him a Mitzora, he's Mukhla, and the only way that he becomes Ois Tzoras is when that Nega goes away or changes in some way, as opposed to this Mitzora who's Muskar, so he loses his status of being a Mitzora Muskar just by days. If at 7 days he didn't definitively become, then by definition, he's Ois Mitzora. That's what Rava says. Abaye doesn't like this. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rava, he says, Elamayata, based upon what you're saying, Kol Yimei Asher Hanega Bo Yitma, how do you deal with the pasuk that says that all of the days that he has his tzaras on him, he is tameh, and he has to be outside Michutz L'machaneh? So, Misha Tzarato Tluya Begufo, Hu Duton Shiluach. So, somebody whose tzaras is definitively on him, he's a mukhlat, so that person requires Ton Shiluach. He needs to be Chutz L'machaneh. Implication being, Misha Ein Tzarato Tluya Begufo, the muskar, who is just waiting for 7 days to go by and to be declared that he doesn't have a nega, ain't ton shluach. That would imply that he doesn't require shluach min ha-machaneh, but that's not true. In fact, he also is not allowed to be in the machaneh. Ay, v'chitei mohochanami, maybe you're saying, yeah, that's another difference, that the muzgar is allowed to be within the walled city, and the mukhlad is not allowed to be within the walled city, but that's not true. Vaktani, our Mishnah said, ein bei mitzorah muzgar, mitzorah mukhlad, ela priyo frima. Implication being, holy inya shluach, letamuye beviya, that zeh v'zeh shavim. In regards to the other dinim, such as both a muskar and a mukhlat, are required to be chutz l'machaneh, and any house that they enter into, they'll be mitame, bibiya, going into that house, anything inside that house will become tame. Zev is a shavim, they're the same. So your explanation, Rava, Abaye says, is lacking, because you couldn't understand this pasuk correctly if your explanation is correct. So how does Rava respond? Amalei, Rava says to Abaye, no, look at the words carefully. He says, kol yemei asher hanega bo. The extra word kol, it could have just said yemei asher hanega bo. It said, not yemei, it said kol yemei. And that implies the rabos mitzora muskar l'shiluach. That comes, that's the word that comes to include the mitzora who's muskar in this din of shiluach chutz l'machaneh. Where it questions this and says, ihochi, if what you're saying is right, so then taglachas v'tziporim, my time alo. So then, if the only distinction that we're making between them is priya and prima, so how come the end of the Mishnah said that there's a difference between them as well, when they become tar, that only the mitzora that was muchlat requires the taglachas and the tziporim, and we said that the mitzora that was muskar does not. But according to this, kol comes to include in all the other dinim, so not only should it include him in chutz l'machaneh, it should also include him in the din of taglachas and tziporim, but it doesn't. And our Mishnah said that specifically. Our Mishnah said, there is no difference between the Mitzorah who is Muskar and becomes Tar, and the Mitzorah that was Mukhla and becomes Tar. The only difference is Ela Taglachas and Siparim. So there is this difference with the Taglachas and Siparim. So how come your Drasha doesn't account for that? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no. Amar Kra, the Pasuk tells us, the Yotza Kohen and Michutz L'Machaneh, Kohen has to go to visit the Mitzorah, whether he's a Muskar or a Mukhla. He has to be Shiluach. He's outside the camp, so the Kohen goes there, and he says, V'nei nirpa nega tzras, and he declares that the nega is no longer present. Now, that implies, Mishet Sorato Tuluya Berifuos. He has to say that you are healed. V'nei nirpa nega tzras. That's only applicable for a Mitzorah that was Mukhla. He definitively had Tzaraas. He has to be declared that you are healed from your Tzaraas. That Pasuk, V'nei nirpa nega Tzaraas, is critical in telling us that only such a Mitzorah that is healed from his Tzaraas has the obligation of Taglachas and Siporim, as opposed to the Mitzorah that is outside the camp. He's, however, only Muskar. He's just waiting for the days to go by for the Kohen to say that, no, this is not a nega of Tzaraas. He's not healed from his Tzaraas. He never had Tzaraas. Yotzazesh eino Tzarato Tuluya Birifuos Ela B'yom. He didn't have to have near Nega Tzaraas. He just had to have a declaration that 7 days went by and the nega didn't change. It didn't turn into a nega that was Tzaraas. So then, retroactively, you didn't have Tzaraas, and therefore, you're not included in the din of Taglachas and Siparim because you weren't near Nega HaTzaraas. Again, a little bit complicated, but let's go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us another in the series of Ein Bein. Ein Bein Svarim L'Tfilin U'Mezuzos. There is no difference between books of Tanakh, Svarim. They used to have not only Sefer Torah written as a scroll, but they had all of their Nevi'im and Ksuvim that were written as scrolls. Today, still, in many places, people read the Haftorah each week from a cloth, from a scroll of, let's say, Yeshua, or Yeshaya, or Yirmiyo, Yecheskel. They take out the scroll for Treyasar. They take out the scroll, and they read it from a cloth. And there are those that read all of the Megillahs from a cloth. So the Mishnah is telling us that the only difference between a Sefer Torah versus Tefillin and Mezuzos, the Svarim of Tanakh versus Tefillin and Mezuzos, the only difference is Ela Shasvarim Nichtov Mecholashon, that a Sefer Torah, any book of Tanakh, could actually be written in any language that you wanted it to. However, Tefillin and Mezuzos, Eino Nichtovos Elo Ashuris, they must be written in what's called Ksav Ashuris, which is the modern Hebrew language that we have in our Sifrei Torah, and have them obviously in Tefillin and Mezuzos. That Ksav Ashuris is what we have, as opposed to the original Ksav, which is called Ksav Ivri. And you certainly cannot write the Tefillin Mezuzos, not only must it be written in Ashuris and not Ivri, but it can't be written in any other language. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel adds one thing. He says, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he says, Af bisvarim, even svarim, lo itiru shi kosu, you're only allowed to write the Sifrei Tanakh, Elo Yevonis, only with, obviously, Ashuris, but you could also write them with Ksav Yevonis. You could also write them with Greek, and the Gemara will go through this in detail. Start the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ha litofron begidin." The requirement that they should be bound together, the different pieces of the cloth should be bound together with gidin. These are what we call the sinews, the tendons or ligaments of the animal. Ulatami hayadayim, and the din the rabbanon that it's metame hayadayim. This is applicable whether it's Sifrei Tanakh or whether it's Tefillin or Mezuzos. So these dinim, they're exactly the same. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Usfarim nechtav mechalash v'chule." We said you're allowed to write technically Tanakh in any actual language. Urminu. The more questions. Wait a second. It says in a Braisa, "Mikra shekosvo targum v'targum shekosvo mikra." If you write a sefer of Tanakh in Targum, or if you were to write Targum that you wrote in Mikra, or Ivri that you wrote it in Ksav Ashuris, or you wrote it in Ksav Ivri, so it doesn't have the halachic status of being something that Chazal said is one of the codified svarim of Tanakh that would be metame yadayim. Unless the only way that it is metame yadayim, ad shiyachtevenu b'chsav ashuris al hasefer ubidiyahu. The only time that the Chazal gave it the status of being one of the 24 svarim of Tanakh that has the status of kedusha to it, that would be metame yadayim if it's written in the ksav ashuris. It has to be written on a cloth al hasefer ubidiyahu. It has to be written with the right type of ink, and only if it meets these three criteria does it have the status of being metame yadayim. But our Mishnah seemed to say that even if it was written in Ksav that wasn't Ashuris, it would be Metame Hayadayim. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Lokash, it's not a problem. We turn to Tesomet Aleph. It's not talking about that it's written in the foreign language. It's using Ksav Ashuris as a transliteration. Kan Begufon Shalonu. It's actually written in Ksav Ashuris. They're using the Hebrew letters known as Ashuris, and it's in French, it's in Greek, it's in Latin, whatever language it's in is transliterated. As opposed to in the Brisa where it says it doesn't have the status of Imitama Yadayim, it's Kan Begofen Shalohen. It's written with the actual lettering, the English alphabet it's written in, not with the Ksav Ashuris. So that's the resolution that Rava wants to get. Mar says, I'm going to buy it. Buy it doesn't like this. Says to Rava, B'mayu Kimta, how have you now explained this, Lahi? How have you reconciled the Braisa? You're saying that the Braisa is not a contradiction to our Mishnah, because the Braisa is talking about Beguf and Shalahan. It's talking about that it's written in the English language. So it's written in the English language, and that's not Matama Yadayim. So my irya mikro shiksovu targum, vitargo shiksovu mikro. So why does the Braisa then have to specifically give us an example of targum that's written in Hebrew, or Hebrew that's written in targum language? Afilo mikro shiksovu mikro. Even if the mikro is written in mikro, it's written in exactly Ashuris. Vitargum shiksovu targum nami. Even if it's written in the right language, it's not good, because the Haktani Ashikhtavenu Ashuris ala Sefer Bidyo. It has to be written with the language of Ashuris. So therefore, even if it's Mikra, Shiksovu Mikra, even if it's Hebrew that's written in Hebrew, but if it's not written properly, so then Ashikhtavenu Ashuris has to be written in Ksav Ashuris ala Sefer ala Dio. So this isn't adequate if you don't have all the criteria. So you're right, the Gemara says, Elolokasha, Harabonon, Harab Shemgaliel. The way you reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa is because they're talking about two different opinions. One is the opinion of the Rabbanon, that's our Mishnah, which says that you're allowed to write it even in other languages, whereas the Braisa, that's the opinion of Shemgaliel, who says that you're only allowed to write it in the language of Ashuris. The Gemara says, wait a second. Can't be, because Iram Shemgaliel, Hayiko Yavanis, he also allows it to be written in Yavanis. So the Braisa doesn't seem to give that dispensation. Someone says, you're right. Elolokasha, kan bisvarim. The way you reconcile the Mishnah is the Mishnah is talking about with svarim that are being written in a different language. They're considered metamaya yadayim, versus the Bryce is talking about kan bitfilin and mezuzas. The Bryce is talking about tfilin and mezuzas, and therefore it's not metamaya yadayim unless it's written b'ksav ashuris, ala klaf, and with dio. Now the Gemara says, tfilin and mezuzas, my timer. Why? What's the distinction? Why does the Braisa say that Tefillah and Mezuzos, as well as our Mishnah, they're not in disagreement with each other? Why do Tefillah and Mezuzos but Dafka have to be written Ksav Ashuris ala Klaf Ubedio? That's because the Pasuk says, Mishum Dechsev Behu, it says, V'hayu, you have to have them written now. V'hayu l'tot tefos b'nei necha. So it must be, V'hayu, b'havyoson, the way that they are you. They have to be written down in the exact same way as they're pronounced and said, and therefore they have to be written Ksav Ashuris ala Sefer of Yaladio. Gemara says, so what does it mean then? My targum shiksav mikra ika. So then give me an example of a word of targum that's written in Hebrew in Tefillin and Mezuzos. So in the Sefer Torah, we have no problem. Bishlam Torah, in Torah, we do have an Aramaic word. It says, V'lovon kora shemo yigar sohadusa, the Yaakov korlo galet. So this place, yigar sohadusa, is an Aramaic word. So that's Targum. So therefore, we have in Chumash, you have Targum, but in Tefillah and Mezuzos, there is no such word. It's just the Psukim of Shema, and there are no Targum words there. Elo hocha, my Targum ika. What Targum is there in Tefillah and Mezuzos? So therefore, that's not a good reconciliation of the Braisa and our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Elo lokasha. So reconcile it this way. Kan b'megillah, kan b'svarim. Oh, the Braisa is dealing dafko with the Megillah. The Megillah, that has to be written in the original language, Hebrew, and Inksav Ashuris, on Dio, with a cloth, Whereas the Mishnah, which says that it doesn't have to be written, that's talking about other Sifrei Tanakh, Kam B'Svarim. Why is the Megillah different? Megillah, my time, again, Diksiv Ba, Kichsavam, V'chil Shonam. That's like V'hoyu, like we just said for the Tefillin Mezuzos, which don't have any Targum there, so that's why that wasn't a good answer. But here, we have Kichsavam, V'chil Shonam, the Megillah has to be written exactly the way it was said, and therefore it has to be Ksav Ashuris, Ala Sefer, and Al Dio. But then we ask the same question that we asked by the Tefillin and Mezuzot. What Targum is there in the Megillah? My Targum, Shekhsav, Mikra Ika. Where is there Targum in the Megillah? So that we have a simple answer to. Amar HaPapa, Minishma, Pisgom HaMelech. Pisgom is an Aramaic word. So therefore, that is what we're referring to. Gemara says, alternately, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, V'chol HaNoshim Yitnu Yikar Levah Lehen. So the word Yikar, that is also an Aramaic word, and therefore these are the words of Targum that must be written in the proper way, and that's how we can reconcile Teretz number one, the Mishnah, and the Brisa. It's a shame we went pretty far down the Amud already, but with one sugya, tomorrow we'll continue in this sugya, though, and give a second way to reconcile the Mishnah and the Brisa. With this, we conclude today's shiur.